Okay, we'll go ahead and begin. All set. And we'll be looking back into the book of Hebrews this morning, where we've been for the last few weeks, dealing with the contrast between the church's new covenant and the new covenant with Israel. And as we come into this section in Hebrews, we do have to read it with care. Many read Hebrews and they see covenant and they just think one covenant and they don't distinguish, but yet they do have to distinguish between two covenants, the covenant with Israel, which was given, which we know as the law, the Mosaic covenant. They do have to recognize that there is a Mosaic covenant, and but they will see just one new covenant. And they don't read it very carefully, and they don't read the context. And so in the context, they just automatically jump to the new covenant. With when it speaks of a covenant, it's the Jeremiah 31 covenant. And so we want to be looking at some of that again as we move into our study today. We'll just review a little bit on the covenants that we've looked at so far, or the references to covenant, and then come back and pick up with where we left off last week in Hebrews chapter 9. And we find the word covenant down following the reference to the new covenant in chapter 9 and verse 15. So we'll come back and look at some of that. We want to move on from there. And as we do, we're going like I say, I want to go back and just review a little bit of the contrast that we've seen. Now, what we've been seeing is we've been noticing the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is our high priest, and that's been the context of the chapters dealing with covenants. And so when it comes to a contrast, he is contrasting the legal covenant with our covenant today. And so he also he gives an illustration then from Jeremiah 31. And we'll see Jeremiah 31 a couple times in Hebrews, but when we see it, it's not applying it to the church. And we'll notice that as we go through our study this morning. We have looked at it in past weeks as well. But when we come into chapter 7 and verse 22, we notice that the Lord Jesus is the surety. It says he's the security, he's the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, it doesn't say the better covenant. He doesn't identify it specifically, but he just says that this is a better covenant. But it's a better covenant than what? Well, it's a better covenant of which our high priest is the security. He himself is the security. He didn't offer many times like the Old Testament priests. His priesthood was it wasn't the priesthood that would be passed on from one priest to another as a result of death, but his is a perpetual priesthood in that our high priest lives, and he always lives, and so he is living. But his offering was just a one-time offering, not for himself. As the Old Testament priests, they offered for themselves, and they offered many times. But annually, the high priest, we noticed in chapter 9, went into the Holy of Holies once a year. And there he offered for his own sins, but we saw that also, that in chapter 7 and verse 27, that the earthly priest, he had to offer first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. And the Lord Jesus, he offered just once for all, one time, no need to offer again. It was a perfect sacrifice, and it was that which was poured out on the heavenly in the Holy of Holies in the heavenlies, and there upon the propitiatory, the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies in the heavens, the Father was satisfied, and it was a once for all thing. And so there was really no need for any further sacrifices. We'll look at this when we get back into chapter 9 again. But then we came over to chapter 8, And again, he describes our high priest, but our high priest, he's seated at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. And so he's a heavenly high priest. His service is in the heavenly tabernacle, and that's what we have observed. The earthly was just a copy of that which was in the heavens. And so as we look at it, he offered in the heavenly Holy of Holies. Now in verse 6 we did see that he has a more excellent ministry or service, and this is a priestly service. As fulfilling the office of a high priest, he is the mediator, it says, of a better covenant. And so again, he's the security and he's the mediator of a better covenant. But it's based upon the fact that he is our high priest. Now he's our high priest by virtue of the fact that he not only died for our sins, but he arose and he ascended up to the Father, and there he, seated at the Father's right hand, he functions as our high priest. And so that's where he serves as our high priest there. But notice, as we pointed out when we went through this, that this better covenant was also, it says established, but we would say it was activated. It was put into force upon the basis of better promises. And so you had better promises, and we looked at those. But then in the next verse, he said, for the first. And so now he contrasts the better covenant with a first covenant. And that first covenant we know to be the Mosaic covenant. Now the Mosaic covenant, it was established back in the book of Exodus. And you have the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, going back to Exodus 19 and 20. And 20, you have the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, and then you can follow on through the history of this covenant. But it was something that was given at that time. Now, it wasn't enforced right away, but it was given. And so they had the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words that God gave to Israel. And there's no question that he gave those to Israel. Only those who want the church to be Israel today would think that the law was something that we're to live by today, or those who belong to cults who are in unbelieving cults. But the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was sufficient to take care of that first covenant. And we saw in verse 13 that when he set a new covenant, he made the first old. The first was old, and it was going to disappear from view. It was vanishing. It was not going to be manifested any longer. The law was on its way out. And so you had the first, though. And so down in verse 7, it speaks of a covenant, a second covenant, but it was the first one, the Mosaic covenant with Israel. But he said, if it had been faultless, if it had been without fault, then should no place have been sought for the second covenant. And so there was a second covenant that was going to be for Israel. And he says that it's going to be, that it wouldn't have been sought. And it was back in the Old Testament. God did promise them that he would give them a new covenant. Now their new covenant is opposed to the Old Covenant. Our new covenant is opposed to the Old Covenant, but they're not the same. We've noticed the differences as we've gone through these. And when we look at this, he goes on to say, for finding fault to them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. I keep wanting to read it as it is with Jehovah and everything, but he says, when I will make. And this isn't the ordinary word for make. This we would translate it ratify, when he would ratify it, covenant. And so it's not poieo, but it's another term that does deal with the ratification of something. And so we could say it to, and so it really brought it into that he will ratify, or he will activate a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now we need to pause once more just to remind ourselves. What does it say? With the house of who? Israel. And with the house of Judah. And with the... No, it doesn't say with the church. There's no addition. And so it's very specific. He's going back to Jeremiah 31 and all the way down through verse 12. He gives that as an illustration. Now, one thing I didn't emphasize last week before we move on. And I do want to point out that when he says he's contrasting verse 6. You notice it says, but now. And so now Christ has obtained a more excellent service. And so he's the mediator of a new covenant. That's in contrast. The but makes a contrast. So it's contrasted with the earthly priest, with the Jewish priests. And so you have a contrast there. Moving on to verse 7, you notice they translate it for. So for is a little conjunction. It indicates that there is going to be an explanation. So he's explaining that there's a new covenant, and that the first one really wasn't, that God found fault with it, with the people, because of what they did. And then in verse 8, you'll see that it says for, and it's the same conjunction. So he's explaining the second that he refers to in verse 8 and verse 7. And so you have a covenant that's a better covenant. You have a first covenant. You have a second covenant. And the second covenant in verse 7 cannot go back up to the better covenant. It's not in contrast to the earthly priests, and it's not in contrast to the law in that sense. And that the Lord Jesus, he offered a sacrifice that was not given under law, but his sacrifice was something that it did away with the law. It fulfilled the law as the perfect sacrifice, and that it was a once for all sacrifice. And he's the only one, as the God-man in his perfect human nature, that could offer a sacrifice once for all for sins. And we'll see that if he had been a man on earth, he'd have had to keep on offering over and over again. But that was not the case. And so last week we came into chapter 9, but it's all on the basis of the fact that the Lord Jesus is a high priest, not after the Levitic and after the order of Levi, and not after the family of the priestly family of Aaron. He was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so it's a different priesthood with a different emphasis. And so he is the surety of a better covenant. That is, he's the security of it, the guarantee of it. And he is also the mediator of a better covenant. Now, this covenant that he speaks of, we saw it in chapter 9 and verse 15 last week. It's spoken of as a new covenant. Now, we have seen, think back with me where we've been. And I trust these things are embedded in your mind, and that ultimately that the Holy Spirit will make it very clear to you that we have something better. If you don't think so, we have something better. And when we go back and look at this covenant, it's a better covenant. It's a new covenant, but it's new. We see that it's also a covenant that is by Christ's blood. There's one covenant that relates to the church in the New that's recorded in the New Testament, specifically to the church. That is, it's a new covenant by Christ's blood, and we observe that every time we have communion. But we pointed out that the new covenant by his blood relates to a new covenant, and it is the new covenant by which the Holy Spirit has written Christ in our hearts. And so by his blood, we have a new covenant. But it's a new covenant by which we would say, Paul describes it elsewhere as regeneration. By regeneration, we're born again. But we see it described in the context of covenant, going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, that Christ is written in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So the result of this new covenant is that Christ is in you. You have life. And in 2 Corinthians 3, Christ is written in our heart in verse 3, and down in verse 6, he's made us to be adequate, he's made us to be qualified or competent servants of a new in quality covenant. And so we are servants of a new covenant. Now, we're not servants of the covenant that God is going to cut someday in the future with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And we've already established that the covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, that covenant will be in the future. It hasn't been cut yet, but God will cut a covenant. And we've established by the context of Jeremiah 31 that in chapters 30 through 33, we do have reference to the regathering of Israel, when God brings Israel back into the land. And so that's when Jeremiah 31 will be in force. But it's not in force yet, so how can we serve something that's yet in the future with the people when they come back into the land in the future? When they come back, when they're planted back into the land, as he describes earlier in Jeremiah 31, when they're planted in the land and God establishes them there with animals and everything else planted in the land, God's going to bring them back to the land. He will fulfill that promise. But that promise hasn't been fulfilled yet. And when we look at this new covenant with the church, it's a covenant that is by the blood of Christ. And there had to be a death whenever you had a covenant. And we are those who are servants of a new covenant, but as Paul says in Hebrews,